defiance gets a bad rap. We think deviance when we hear defiance. That if you're disagreeing, you're somehow doing something wrong. But sometimes defiance is just another way of saying maverick or pioneer. Stay with me. I'm sure at some point in your life, someone you care about doubted you. Maybe they told you that the thing you loved so much was dumb. Or maybe they told you you couldn't do it. An ex once told me that I couldn't possibly succeed as a podcast producer and journalist because of my last name and the color of my skin. I know. Why was I with him in the first place? Little did he know that brown people were about to become a super hot commodity and diversity would be all the rage, and that I'm amazing. Anyway, him saying that fueled my need to prove myself and to prove him wrong. Sure, having to prove yourself is a burden, but having something to prove can light a fire that lights the fucking sky. I'm Misha Youssef, and this is Tell Them I Am.
I felt very confident about myself and what I was doing, and I think...
And what were you doing?
Well, I just wanted to skate. You know, I wanted to play with that toy, and I believe that I could turn playing with that toy into a livelihood.
Why did you think you could make a living off of skateboarding?
I saw other people doing it. That's really what it came down to. I started reading magazines, Thrasher magazine, and I noticed that they're pros and they're traveling and they're endorsing products with their name on it. And I thought, I want to do that. My first name, Salman, last name, Aga. I'm known as a professional skateboarder.
Salman's being modest. He's known for way more than just being a pro skateboarder. He developed what's called the switch stance. That's when you skate interchangeably between your dominant and opposite stance. I mean, if you don't understand what I just said, I don't either. It's kind of like being ambidextrous with your feet. And it's way more than just a move or a trick. It's a whole way of skating, like a genre. I mean, the guy's a pioneer. And it all started in San Jose, California. It's the late 80s. Salman's a teenager. He gets his first skateboard at 12. He takes it outside, he gets on it, and he pretty much never gets off it. Doesn't matter how badly he gets hurt, doesn't matter if he's supposed to be doing something else instead, he just keeps skating.
Do you feel like your parents were mentors to you throughout your childhood, or did you have a different relationship with them?
I wouldn't say that they were mentors. But in a way, they did put some wind in my sails, nevertheless. I think all parents do by having certain expectations or ideas about what they think their parent, you know, what their kids should look like, what they want them to be. And so, yeah, in a way, I think they had an influence, but it wasn't a positive one. It was one that required my battling against whatever their ideas were. Not so much with Annie, my stepmom. You know, she grew up in America. I think she was born in Inglewood, grew up in Tustin, grew up liking the Beatles and like went to Disneyland the day it was open. And like, you know, I think she very much didn't have any issue at all with what I was into. But my dad, I think he had this way of seeing things. Like if it was bad or perceived to be bad, it was all bad.
Bad kid. I'm a bad kid.
You're a bad kid. I'm a bad kid.
You lost.
Get away. Stop. Leave.
As a skater, I look at it and just laugh.
I just remember going to the skate shop with him once, and it was so repulsive to him, all the imagery and graphics. I mean, from then on, it was just this bad thing, and I was a bad kid because I was into this bad activity.
They're not supposed to be skateboarding in here, period.
An LA cop.
Cops always come around here.
What do you do?
Leave.
And then what?
Come back when they're gone.
What came along with it was bad music, smoking, sex, drugs. all the stuff that most parents probably don't want their kids getting into. I don't know who they are, really. I didn't grow up with my mom.
Salman's biological mom separated from his dad and moved to LA when he was really young.
I haven't really probed too deep into like who my parents are or who they think they are. You know, they're just my parents. And they're both from Iran. Immigrants came here as students. And I think like a lot of people who move to the United States just wanted to experience a different life than what they probably could have experienced back in the country that they're from.
So when his dad refuses to support his passion for skating, he's like, fuck you, dad. And he goes all in.
Well, it's funny. I'll just tell you a story. One of my buddies, this kid, Mike Miller, and his brother, Tom Miller, his older brother, their mom sort of allowed us to build a half pipe in their backyard. I'd show up at his house. You know, these guys are like out partying and whatnot. And I'd be there at like 7 or 8 in the morning and kind of like, hey, let's go. Come on, guys, let's skate. And I'd just sit there. Finally, they'd kind of roll out of bed and like we'd get going. But, you know, that's the difference between like my energy and my interest in skating and theirs. For a lot of youth at that time, I think skateboarding was an aesthetic. Whereas to me, I'm pursuing this thing as if it's the only thing that exists and I have to do it or I'm gonna die. Essentially, I would get up and I kind of eat, breathe, sleep, dream, drank. Everything was about skating, you know? So all the normal things that I think teenagers get into, going to, you know, parties and dances and having girlfriends or whatever, like all that stuff I didn't have any involvement in, nor did I socialize with anyone outside of that immediate interest in skating.
He's like 13, right? And he puts himself on this insane schedule. He wakes up, skates. Works at his dad's cafe, skates. Goes to school, skates. Works at the cafe again, skates. Goes to sleep, dreams about skating. Does it all over again. He and his dad are still not getting along, but working at the cafe is really important for Salman. It gives him the money he needs to keep skating.
Up until the time my dad had that place established, that was felt really rough financially. And I think I felt that. You notice things. When you have one pair of pants and you're going to school and like that's all you have and it's the same thing every day and they don't even fit because they're too small, it becomes apparent very quickly. The funny thing is I've always sort of felt it doesn't matter how much money I've ever made. I've kind of always felt the way I felt when we didn't have anything.
When Salman turns 15, all his hard work finally pays off. Stacy Peralta comes to his town. If you're not a skater and you don't know who that is, me neither, but let me tell you. Stacy Peralta is a pro skater, surfer, director, and renowned Z-boy.
I remember that day very clearly. Stacy had come up to San Jose to film Steve Caballero, who's a skateboarding icon and one of my great good friends. And I remember Stacy asking me if I wanted to be on the Bones Brigade, which is their name of their team.
The Lance Mountain.
Ryan Mullen.
That was it. Yeah, right at that moment, I made it.
Here's Salomon Aga.
17 years old. Oh,
I knew from San Jose.
Dude, 5 feet.
Swish flash.
Switch stance.
Yeah.
Dude, 10 feet.
You were kind of famous in the community. Like, everybody knew you. And you're very humble when you talk about that time. Were you aware that people were aware of you when you were like 14, 15, 16?
I don't think so. Because even in my skate career, even in my career, as I started getting coverage and, you know, showing up in videos and things like that, I didn't have any real self-perception yet. There was a time when I sort of got everything I wanted that you could get from skating. After that, I felt pretty lost.
So it's 1993. Thrasher magazine votes Salomon Skater of the Year, which means he's on the cover, the equivalent of getting an Oscar for skateboarding. At this point, he's only 21 years old. He's at the pinnacle of his career. And then he quits.
Once the opposition's gone and you sort of get all that stuff, yeah, it becomes difficult to find meaning or purpose any longer, right?
Up until that point, Salomon had done everything because people told him he couldn't.
So, in contrast, you know, one of my peers and someone I looked up to, like Tony Hawk, you know, he had a dad that really supported his effort to skate. And I guess what the point I'm trying to make is that I think his desire to just skate for the sake of how it made him feel, I think that's a more healthy way to do something. The underlying motivation is different.
Salomon's motivation had been defiance. He would get on that board over and over and over to prove a point.
So the point's made. So now what?
He spends a year away from skating. He goes down to LA, spends some time with his mom, who he hadn't ever really gotten to know, sort of figures out who he is, who he wants to be. After that year, he starts skating again. He gets back his sponsors, still does incredible stuff, but it never really goes back to what it had been. Now, he's got a wife and kids. He runs a really successful pizza shop here in LA called Pizzanista. And he's been thinking a lot about what kind of dad he wants to be.
My son's 3. He can ride a bike. He has a little motorcycle. He can skate. He's not told he's not allowed to do any of those things. We encourage it. So I'm curious to see what that means for him at some point in time. I don't know, maybe a parent not being supportive of something, maybe that's a way of allowing a child to figure, I don't know, strengthening their resilience and independence. I don't know. You know, I don't think anyone knows how to bring up kids, to be honest with you.
You can learn more about Salomon on his Instagram, Salomon_Aga, or you can try to catch him at Pizzanista. Thank you for listening to Tell Them I Am. I am Misha Youssef. This episode of Tell Them I Am was sound designed by Mary Knopf and written by Mary Knopf, Arwen Nix, and me. Mary is my producer, and don't tell James Kim, but she and I had a work cocktail and he wasn't invited. Arwen Nix is the podcast boss here at KPCC, our editor for this podcast, and the most supportive, stylish boss on the planet. Yes, planet. Valentino Rivera and Sean Corey Campbell are our engineers. Our beautiful music is by David Leinard. Our tile art and design work is by the talented Stephanie Kraft. You can find these stunning illustrations of all of our guests as the episodes release. Thanks to Em and Ahmed for those. You should really go see them. Just go to kpcc.org/tellthem or follow Emin at Emin Ahmed or me on Instagram or Twitter @Misha Youssef. We'll be back tomorrow with another story.